Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Department of Overthinking here at Car Talk Plaza, something we're rarely accused of.
True. But this is a little story sent to us by a listener named just Bill, and I liked it because this could have easily happened to me.
Okay.
Bill writes, I was shopping at the local supermarket where I selected the following: a half gallon of milk, a carton of eggs, a quart of orange juice, a head of romaine lettuce. You writing this down?
I got it. I mean, slow down, will you?
A 2-pound can of coffee.
Decaf or?
No, regular. And a 1-pound package of bacon.
Uh-huh.
As I was unloading my items on the conveyor belt to check out, a drunk standing behind me watched as I placed the items in front of the cashier. While the cashier was ringing up the purchases, the drunk calmly stated, "You must be single." I was a bit startled by this proclamation, but I was intrigued by the derelict's intuition since I was indeed single. I looked at the 6 items on the belt, and I saw nothing particularly unusual about my selections that could have tipped off the drunk to my marital status. Curiosity getting the better of me, I said, "Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. But how on earth did you know that I was single?" And the drunk replied, "Because you're ugly."
Ah, yes. Chalk one up for in vino veritas. Yeah, I mean, now, if he was sober, he would never have said that
to
Bill.
He would never have said that.
But when you're drunk, and you're
drunk,
free.
You're free to go anywhere.
You're free to state the truth. Because you're ugly. Well, look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Grace from Arlington, Virginia.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You know, you don't.
Are you a
people.
Politician?
I'm not.
Are you a lawyer?
Not a lawyer.
Not a politician and not a lawyer.
No, go figure.
Nice talking to you, Grace.
Well, I'm calling with a situation that actually began, I guess, last May when my daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I decided it was time to get rid of our little 2-door hatchbacks and get a serious
minivan, huh?
Yeah, good
no,
idea.
No, we weren't going to do the minivan.
Not yet.
Not
this
yet.
This is the first
know.
Child.
Future kids, maybe, but we're not ready for that yet.
Yeah.
So we got a Volvo V70 wagon.
Excellent choice.
Oh, good. I was hoping you'd say that.
Excellent choice.
Good. Well, like any new neurotic parents, we also got the shades for the windows in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Because God forbid any sunlight gets into her little eyes.
Right? Oh, of course.
And you know how those are connected? Suction cups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two at the top, one in the middle at the bottom.
Oh, I see it now.
Okay, well.
She swallowed one of them.
No. That might even be easier. Well, the other day, because I'm such a good daughter, I was taking my parents to the airport on their way to vacation. And my dad said, "Hey, it's hot in here. We can turn the heat off."
And he opened
you
the window.
It coming.
I see it coming.
Open the window.
And
down
he sucked
with
that thing right down.
Exactly. And then he said very graciously that he would be happy to pay for a new suction cup.
Hit him for it.
And the question is, does he get off the hook with the 89 cents? Or, since I have no idea how these
the $350 to take the door apart.
Exactly.
Did it actually go down inside?
It's dead.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that it fits.
Well, you know, it's
little
a little
space.
Known fact that you can actually put your fist in between that glass and that weather stripping.
I mean, that weather stripping and glass form such a tight seal.
I know.
Yeah,
I
but that electric motor is very strong, and it just pulled that. I could see it now.
Oh, can you imagine?
I can see it. It sucked
car.
It right in. Oh, because it was attached so firmly to the glass.
It sucked it right in. And right now, that piece is on the inside of the door. It's not doing any harm.
I wouldn't worry about
if
it.
If you were to take the door panel off, it would be. You don't even have to spend the 89 cents.
No, we actually already did.
It's mangled, though.
If we wanted to work, we had to spend it, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably what happened is it fell to the very bottom of the door.
Okay.
And the worst thing that it could do is plug up the drain hole that's in the bottom of that door.
But I wouldn't worry
but
about
I
it.
Wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, not gumming.
No, because you'll have bought the minivan by then anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it one bit, but I would tell... Was it your father or your father-in-law? Your father.
That's my father.
I would tell your father that you had to have the door replaced. It cost $1,150.
And try to collect it.
All
right. Thanks so much for your help.
Thanks, Grace.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Doug from Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Well, I got two problems.
Yeah.
The first one was with my truck, and the second one, well, the truck led to my second problem, which is a marital dispute.
Your wife.
Yeah.
It always happens. No matter what problem you have two.
This is true.
Which one you want to start with?
Let's start with the truck.
Let's start with the truck.
It's an 85 Ford F-150.
Yeah.
And last fall, I was going back to work after lunch, and it was the first cold day, so I had the defrost going. And all of a sudden, thick black smoke started pouring out of the defrost.
Uh-huh.
So I panicked, pulled off to the side of the road, turned off the car, lifted the hood, nothing. No smoke, nothing. So I get back in, start her back up, and I had to get back to work. And I thought, well, I got insurance. If it burns to the ground, I'll get a new one.
Not quite a new one, but you'll get something.
Another one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in good hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I come back out after about 3-4 hours and start her up. It smells like crazy in there, but turn on the defrost, drive home, nothing.
Works great.
I get home, tell my wife, oh, by the way, dear, guess what happened to me at work today? And she comes up with the solution, and this is where we had the marital dispute because I said she was nuts.
Yeah.
Where she thinks the smoke came from.
Hmm.
There were dried up bugs and bug parts in there, and when I ran the defrost for so long, they caught on fire, and that's what was burning. And I said she was nuts.
You were right. But I hope you didn't tell her that.
What, that she was nuts?
Yeah.
Well,
that would lead to a marital dispute.
Yeah.
And remember the great words that I once heard.
What?
And I think I spoke them. Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And you chose in that case to be right. And now your wife ain't happy, you ain't happy.
And you're sleeping in the pickup truck.
Yeah.
And it smells bad in there. Well, I think she's wrong because you'd be hard-pressed to get enough bugs to make all that acrid black smoke.
And
secondly, there's nothing hot enough to set bugs on fire.
Well, that's what I said. And she said, fine, take the dash apart. So I did.
You found,
all
these
whole bunch of bugs.
were they, as the French say, carbonisés? Were they burned up?
No.
No, they were there. But
well, she says the ones that burnt up wouldn't be there. They were gone.
Yeah. She's a smart little cookie, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm right, this will be the first time.
Yeah.
Well, I think you could open up anyone's heater box and find bugs. I mean, after all, where else are they going to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the smoke came from the blower motor.
Yeah, the only thing down there that could cause that is the motor.
Is the insulation on the windings of the motor melting because the motor is seizing up.
But I ran the air conditioner all summer long. And it worked just fine.
Mm.
Yeah. Well,
he didn't even have to tell us that because don't forget, it worked fine on his way home from work the day that it happened.
Yeah.
So whatever happened was a single episode, and it was over. The only, if anything caught fire, it was the blower motor.
Okay.
Yeah, and it didn't even catch fire.
I'm
convinced
of that.
The windings got so hot that the insulation started to melt, and that makes a very foul-smelling,
but it's a very distinctive smell.
Acrid.
But it wasn't electrical.
It didn't smell like electrical smoke?
No, I know what that smells like.
Why? Yeah. What have you burned up?
Well, I've wired my house.
Oh, you wired your house. Oh, so you know what an electrical fire smells like.
Oh, yes, he does.
All right, I've had the fire department out.
So it didn't smell like an electrical fire.
Did it smell like rubber?
No. To be honest, it smelled like burning paper almost.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Is there paper around the...
Well, as we know,
no,
I mean,
there isn't. But
the highest temperature in there is about 200 degrees.
Yeah.
And we all know that paper doesn't burn until you get to 454.
Right.
Right.
So you ain't got any temperatures that high.
Wait, hold it now. What if we had a stage-wise progression?
Oh, really?
What?
Yeah. What if we had a condition whereby something could ignite at a much, much lower temperature and in turn ignite
yeah, I see it.
Some leaves that
like,
might have been in
like
there.
Like maybe bugs?
What is
a bug? A
the ignition
bug
point of a mosquito.
Oh, no, these aren't mosquitoes. These were like, what are these like? Like June bugs, right?
Yeah, and dragonflies.
I mean, somebody has obviously done a PhD dissertation on...
There's no question about it.
Dragonfly and June bug ignition points.
Call Oklahoma University.
Okay.
No, this is getting out of hand. We have no idea, Doug.
No, I
have no idea.
Well, I have the experiment.
Yeah.
That Doug has to do.
Yeah.
He has to set fire to a bug and see if that smell jogs his memory.
Ah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if it does, you'll know your wife was right. And I'm sure she was right.
Yeah,
she's right.
I have no other theory to account for this, because that is a pretty isolated system.
Well,
and you're hard pressed to get smoke.
Yeah, this is a lot of smoke.
Yeah,
of smoke.
And where there's smoke, there's fire. You've been burning up some bugs, Doug. Set a few bugs on fire and see if that smell reminds you of that incident.
I'll give it a try.
Remember the words, hun. I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart.
I know the mantra.
See you later.
Oh, God love you.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Susan from Utah. How are you?
Susan from Utah.
Whereabouts in Utah?
Escalante, Utah.
Escalante. You know?
That's elevator, right? Or escalator.
Yeah, no, it's a language that the whole
that's
world is
Esperanto.
Oh, Escalante, Esperanto. What's the difference?
Well,
in Esperanto,
in
any
Esperanto,
word's good.
Anything works. If you can sort of figure it out knowing nothing,
right?
Then
yeah. It's like Escalante would certainly be an escalator in Esperanto,
or a person who likes to climb mountains.
Yeah.
Oh, a climber.
A climber, Escalante.
Yeah.
No, that would be an Escalantadora.
Escalantador.
Escalantador.
Tú eres un escalantador?
No, I'm Swedish. Isn't that sad?
All right.
Isn't
well, Susan, sad? You've used up all your time. So it's sad to say.
So what's up, Susan?
I have an 86 Toyota Tercel.
Yeah.
Runs like a dream.
Yeah, they all do.
Except it makes a whomp, 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 whomp noise that has come up recently that I thought might be tires. Then I realized that the whomp noise was not consistent with the
speed of the tires.
Yeah,
is it like three times the speed of the tires?
No, the tire goes faster.
So the tires are going vroom, 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 and this noise is going vroom, 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 vroom?
Yeah.
Oh, man, does this make it hard?
Oh, yeah, well, go ahead. It's your dime.
So that's the only problem, and I don't know what it is.
And, of course, you haven't taken it to anyone.
Nope. Not in Escalante? No.
Well, I don't even know where Escalante Esperanto is, but did the noise appear all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Well, it always does.
Was it? I mean, I was on a lot of dirt roads.
All noises appear all of a sudden, because prior to them, they're not noises.
Well, no, some noises start out, you say, oh, that's what that used to be. Like, oh, that's what that turned into.
Actually, you know, I think it was kind of like that.
When was the last time you bought tires?
No, I can. It wasn't when I bought them, but when I bought the car, there were a bunch of tires with a car, so I finally went about 2 months ago and said, pick the four best tires, leave me a spare, and put the four best tires on.
Does it sound like it's coming from one of the front wheels?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Right front.
Because I think I know what it is.
Do you?
Thank goodness.
And I don't agree, by the way. Whatever he says.
Oh, yeah, you're going to agree with
this. I'm not going to agree.
Now you're going to say, yeah,
oh, all right. Okay, go ahead.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You have a bad wheel bearing.
I knew you were going to say that.
And what you have is one spalled, spelled S-P-A-L-L-E-D, ball bearing.
Yeah.
In one of those front wheels. And I'm going to guess it's the right front wheel.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. You should have your mechanic throw it up on the lift. And unfortunately, in order to replace this, to look at this bearing, you must destroy it.
Yeah, so you can never prove that it was good.
So, well, you can. After the fact, you can. When you put it all together and the noise is gone.
Well, is it something that I could take? Are they expensive? Could I buy one in Salt Lake City where the car is now, take it down to a person in Escalante who might be able to do that?
Well, you better check first to make sure he can do it.
Because it requires a press, a hydraulic press, to press the bearings onto the hub.
Oh.
And, I mean, what?
Which any...
Are you the only one that lives in Escalante? I mean, how much of a one-horse town is this?
One horse.
Oh, there are many there are many horses. There just aren't very many people.
No, yeah. I think this is a job you need to have done in Salt Lake.
Okay.
I would take it.
It would be
Salt
a lot
Lake.
Safer there.
Okay. You guys are wonderful.
Well, you won't think so when you are on Stump the Chumps in a couple of weeks. See you, Susan.
Good
luck, Susan.
Bye-bye.
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 Hey, Tommy, it's time for your weekly Puzzler Hits.
Oh, man, okay.
Come on, I flunked
this week after week.
Okay, well, let's see. Here's the first one. If you were talking to Vanna White, you would probably be discussing the cost of what?
Oh, come on, this is a family show.
I was looking for the cost of a vowel.
Oh, a vowel.
You know, buying a vowel. Okay, here's a mathematical one. Berman comes in with a baker's dozen of donuts. Bugsy gets first pick, then he hands the box to you. How many donuts are left?
Simple. None. If Bugsy had the box first, there's no donuts.
That's right. Okay, let's make that Mayor. He hands the box to Mayor, then to you. How many are left?
12.
That's right. The puzzler
right.
was about buying the letters that spell the number 12. And we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
When my truck won't work and I'm real cheap, I don't want to call the tow truck creep. So I call up my dad and what do you know? Said, let's do a hillbilly tow. Oh, it's a hillbilly tow on a hillbilly day. Towing my truck the hillbilly way. Throw on a chain and put the stick in go. That's what we call a hillbilly tow.
And even though the NPR nurse checks her Petri dish to see how the laryngitis germs are coming along whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars. Car repair and the answer to last week's puzzler. And I hesitate to mention it, but this was part of my house numbers series. Is it a series if it's only two?
No.
Anyway, here it is. There may be a third. You never know. A man was waiting in line at a hardware store to buy the letters that would spell the number of his house. Right? Instead of the number one, you're going to buy O-N-E.
I got it.
As luck would have it, there were three guys ahead of him in line, all waiting to do the same thing.
What are the chances of that?
pretty bad. The first guy buys the number one, O-N-E, and he pays $2.
Yeah.
The next guy buys the number two, T-W-O, and he pays $3. The third guy buys the number 11. He pays $5. Our protagonist in this little drama is buying the number 12. What does he pay?
Let's see. If he beats up the first two guys, he can have the T and the E, and I only have to buy... And, oh, 12.
Don't you
the
notice?
The T and the W and the E. Oh.
All the letters in 12 are in the first three.
I was just thinking he'd only have to buy three letters.
Well, in fact, let's look at the word 12.
Let's look at it.
Okay, and
he's
then let's look
buy
at
all of them.
And then let's look at the word 11.
11.
They share four letters.
Yeah.
E L E V.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you take that away from the 12, you get T W left over.
T W and.
If you take those same four letters away from 11, you have N E left over. Now let's go back to the first two guys.
Yeah.
One costs $2.
Mm-hmm.
And two cost $3. What have we learned? Now, we don't know the cost of any of the letters individually.
No, we don't. But we
do
know
that a T and a W cost a dollar more than an N and an E.
Yeah. We do know that.
I do know that.
I see it right here.
And as luck would have it, the T and W in 12 are going to cost a dollar more than the N and the E in 11, We know the whole of 11 costs $5, so 12 must cost $6. Pretty good, huh?
Wow.
And you could use higher mathematics to solve this.
I was writing a series of simultaneous equations.
You could do that.
Could I?
No.
will I be able to play the piano?
My wife broke her finger recently. It was a little industrial accident. And whilst we were at the hospital waiting endlessly, I decided I had to ask the doctor when it was all over if she would be able to play the violin. And he was a young guy. I figured he'd go for it. He didn't.
He didn't go for it?
No.
He said, could she play the violin before?
I told him he ruined my whole day. Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner this week is Meg Schneider from Boise, Idaho, and for having her answer selected at random from the freezer bag full of correct answers that we got. Meg was going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. Now, isn't that exciting? And with that $25 gift certificate, Meg, you can get a copy of our great CD, Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs. What a deal.
Still pushing that CD, huh?
Oh, yeah, every chance I get.
Hey, by the way, I'm in love with Adie Gray.
Yeah.
She sings on this CD, she sings a song called Grandpa's Advice.
Yeah. They're all jerks. I know it.
Hey, we'll have, we have to play a cut from this later on in the show. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, if you desperately need some car advice, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Linda from Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Linda.
Ashland.
No, Ashland. It's L-A-N-D, but they pronounce it Lind.
That's correct.
Ashland.
Ashland.
Just like they pronounce Oregon wrong.
That's correct.
Who are you to say they pronounce it wrong?
Well, I'll tell you. Do we not live in a country where the majority rules?
Unfortunately, yes.
And I bet
you'd be surprised at how stupid the average person is, according to George Carlin.
49 states out of 50 pronounce this state as Oregon.
Yeah.
If you surveyed anybody from any of the other 49 states, they'd say it's Oregon.
Unless you live there.
So, yeah, I mean, 2% of the people call it Oregon.
Oregon.
They must obviously be what?
Wrong.
Okay.
I have a little note here. I have a note, Linda, which may apply to you. I don't know. It says, the quantity of consonants in the English language is constant. If omitted in one place, they turn up in another. Every time a Bostonian, for example, parks his car, those missing R's migrate southwest, and a Texan somewhere washes his car and invests in Earl Wells. Is that true?
Washes, yes.
So according to Stephen Schaper, that's true, or Shaper. So, Linda.
Schaper.
Get pasa, Linda.
Okay, are you guys ready?
Sounds like Mom.
Yes, we're ready.
Yes, Mom.
Okay, my husband has a 1991 Miata.
Yeah.
And first of all, I want to tell you, there's three things that my husband loves. Me, our cats, and his car.
Oh,
not
in that order.
Correct.
I got it.
But I prefer to keep it in that order, and that's why I'm calling you guys.
Yeah, for his own safety, I think you should leave it in that order.
Yes, for his own physical well-being.
Physical well-being, exactly right.
My husband's been bugging me to use some of my bonus money to buy him a supercharger for this Miata. And it cost about $2,500.
Yeah.
And he says it'll go faster.
It will.
So I got out the manual, or he showed it to me, and the stock Miata goes 0 to 60 in 8.8 seconds, but with the supercharger it goes in 5.7 seconds.
5.7, yeah.
And good. The 50 to 70 mile range, the stock Miata is 12.5 seconds, and the supercharger is 5.5. And I wanted to ask you guys if you think spending $2,500 is worth these extra seconds.
Well, it is worth the extra seconds, but it's going to cost you more than $2,500.
Why is
that? Because at the very time that you spend the $2,500 for the supercharger, you must also go out and spend about $11,000 for the life insurance policy because he's going to kill himself.
In fact, I would buy the life insurance policy first because they may not sell it to you after they
find out. After
they
know that he's got the supercharger.
He's really a very good driver.
No, he may be a very good driver, but he ain't a very good thinker.
Right, and in the words
did I hear him on the line?
And in the words of Ted Williams, if you don't think too good, don't think too much.
Is that him on the other line?
Well,
Come on, fess up.
Yeah, I've been hiding.
You have. What's your name?
My name's Rick.
Rick. Are you nuts or what?
I'm in the right profession to be nuts.
You're a psychologist.
Yeah. But listen, I've got, you know, some arguments, and they're not very good, but I'm going for quantity.
Sure. Go ahead.
Give us the arguments.
A couple, okay. Just to we'll get some sense of how wacko you actually are.
We may as well go to the right to the heart of the matter. For safety. And, you know, I know you guys think the car is inherently unsafe because it's so small and light.
This is going to allow you to get out of the way of those semis that are bearing down on you.
Okay.
So, lumbering lummoxes. Okay, economic.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm writing these down. Safety. Under harebrained theory number one. Okay.
And the next one
I've got you on this one.
Economics, yeah.
Economic. It'll help my capital depletion fund because I'll probably only get 50% of my investment back.
Yes, well, it's going to help your wife's capital depreciation fund. Okay, I like that.
Okay, that's a good one, too. Harebrained scheme number two.
Okay, ecological.
Oh, yeah, very ecological. You because bounce down on that gas pedal.
It'll have a significantly increased volumetric efficiency.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Which means it'll burn more gas and using more valuable oxygen, which is a finite amount on the planet.
Okay, harebrained theory
and
number
psychological,
three.
Yeah. I think, you know, I may score a point here.
You might, yeah.
You know, with my probable midlife crisis, this may... you know, fend off other, you know, stupid mid-aged indiscretions.
Well, what kinds of things did you have in mind? Maybe we can talk you into one of those.
I shouldn't say on the air. With my wife on the phone.
And Linda probably doesn't want to hear about it anyway.
Well, the one argument you didn't make is that with this increased power that the car would have with the supercharger, then it would obviously shorten your commuting time and increase the amount of time you get to spend with your wife.
Ooh.
You guys are very good.
Well, in the short run, that would be true. You'd be home early a couple of nights, and then you wouldn't be home at all.
And while she could come to visit you at the hospital.
Assuming you're so lucky to be paralyzed from the top of your head down. Rick, in all seriousness, this is the stupidest idea you've ever come up with, and you've come up with some beauties.
And we know, because we have four of them.
No, I mean, this car, I know that the Miata Club probably encourages people to do this. I don't know why they would do that. But this car does not want or need a supercharger, and it's extraordinarily dangerous to get from 0 to 60 in 5.7 seconds. It's absolutely out of the question. You're taking your life in your hands and throwing it away.
Well, the worst part is that the suspension of the car and the other handling characteristics are not really designed to take this.
It's all been modified.
Of course.
What, the whole car?
Yeah, everything. That's true. I used to do autocrossing, so I set it up to race.
Sure, of course. Well,
I can see.
You call the wrong guys. I mean, for one thing. I mean, I believe that any car that can go from 0 to 60 in anything under like 15 or 20 seconds ought to be relegated to racetracks only. There's no reason in the world that that all of us should be as in a hurry as we are to get any place.
Well, I should tell you, it wasn't my idea to call you guys.
I agree that you probably would not have wanted to call us.
Linda knew.
Sorry, Linda?
Rick said that you guys would not think it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, he was right.
Oh, so he does have some semblance of a brain.
But in the same breath, he didn't agree to abide by our suggestion.
That's true.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I sensed that.
But I said that I really needed to get your opinion before I would make this kind of investment.
Sure. Well, I mean, I don't think you should have any part of it. Your investment has to go for the life insurance policy.
Well, I think.
And a complete disability. Don't forget that, because God forbid he might not die.
Imagine a lifetime of pushing him around in the wheelchair.
Yeah, and he'll probably want you to push him around in the damn Miata. You have to put big wheels on it and handles on the back. Come on, hon, push me.
That would not be fun.
I hate to bring up these sad subjects, but it's the truth.
Well, you know, fun, that was really my final secret argument.
Fun, yeah.
It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, if you promised that you would only do this on a racetrack, I'd say go ahead and do it. But to put you on the roads with the rest of us is unfair to the rest of us, Rick.
Well, he won't be on the roads with us.
He'll be on the roads with some innocent person walking around the streets or driving around and all of a sudden coming into this 5.7-second Miata. We don't need that. We don't need it. I don't want you on the roads.
If we ever come to Boston, we'll leave the Miata
here. Don't come to Boston! Isn't a song?
It was, Please Come to Boston.
Don't come
Something
to
like that, but yeah. We can rephrase
James
it.
Taylor.
And think of the fun this will be in the snow.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Linda.
Linda, don't have any part of it. Buy the insurance policy. Don't forget the complete disability clause. And certainly don't give them any financial incentive to do this.
Thank you so much for your input. I appreciate it.
I'm sure
Thanks,
you
Linda.
Do. See ya. Good
nice
luck,
talking to you, Rick.
Good luck, Ricky.
Thank you.
I think Rick needs a nice...
Sounded a little down in the mouth.
He needs
a
little AMC Concord to spruce up his life.
So. He needs to go rock climbing
or something. I mean, he's a psychologist. He knows he's having a midnight life crisis, and he thinks this is the solution. He probably tells his patients to not do this, and he's doing it.
Well, he's a wacko. That's all right.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Tom Jones in Topeka, Kansas. How are you?
Tom Jones,
Tom
I
Jones.
Love your music.
Hey, listen, if I was Tom Jones, if I was the real Tom Jones, you'd be paying me not to sing.
So what's up, man?
Yeah, I got a problem, believe it or not. It's my wife's car. It's a 1990 Plymouth Acclaim, you know, four-cylinder.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is that when it gets up to about 5-10 minutes into driving, when the engine is warmed up, it starts to buck.
Yeah.
And it lugs a little bit. And I thought it was anything from, I started out by putting some gas treatment into it, thinking that was going to solve it. And then I went from there to saying, well, gee, maybe it's a fuel pump problem.
Right. Right.
And then I went from there to new parts, new plugs, and a tune-up. That didn't solve it. And then I was fascinated listening to one of your shows about something called the throttle control sensor. And I don't know whether that's it, but it does this only when it's warm. And only, actually, I'm not sure I want to fix it because it's kind of a neat sensation. It kind of, you know, with a name like Tom Jones, it's kind of exotic, it's kind of erotic, and it bucks and shakes.
It gives you the gyrations.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom,
that's right.
Boom, 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 boom.
I'm waiting for a cop to pull me over, and then I'll tell him who I am, and he'll say, I can't believe it.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
That's right.
Now, if you try to go faster, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Will it do 50, 60, 70 miles an hour?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And if you drove at a steady 50 miles an hour, you wouldn't feel any funny stuff going
on.
Exactly. So it's only this mid-range operation.
Exactly. See, I knew you guys would have the answer. I've gone through all my people here, and I've told them what my name is, and they said, well, we don't care about that. I'm thinking my supper, and they said, still, we don't care about that.
It's unlikely it's the fuel pump or the filter or anything like that, because that problem would be worse at higher speed.
Okay.
And it would, in fact, it would bog down terribly if you tried to make it go 60 as opposed to 30.
That's what I thought,
obviously, because the demand for fuel is greater.
Exactly.
It's unlikely to be an ignition system problem, because if you had, for example, a bad spark plug wire or a bad distributor cap, that problem would be worsened under extreme load conditions. And it's very likely, since you're having this mid-range problem, that it's the throttle position sensor, which is the thing that you referred to.
Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking that it is, too. And the that's a simple thing that's right up on the air intake.
That's right. You can do that. I mean, it's probably $30 or $40 to buy one wholesale.
Yeah.
And you just put it in, and if that doesn't fix it, then I'd suggest you take it someplace and have it looked at.
Well, I ascribe to the old U.S. philosophy that if the U.S. government says, if it ain't broke, fix it till it is.
Well, you're heading in that direction.
Yeah.
That's probably right, too.
So do you know any Tom Jones songs? I mean, you must.
Oh, yeah.
Well, send us off with a little tune.
It's not unusual to be loved by click and clack. It's not unusual that you'll get the right answer, too.
Okay, don't give up your day job, Tom.
Happy gyrating.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Guys.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Hey, Tommy, according to our latest contract, it's time for us to take another little break.
Hey, that's good. That's a nice little benefit you negotiated for us. Another break. I like it.
It's not a benefit for us. It was demanded by the listeners. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Bought a Chevy just the other day. Only way to go a Chevrolet. It's just a beater, but I don't care. It gets me here and it gets me there. But last night I drove a couple of blocks. Under the hood I heard some knock, knock, knocks. Some funny noises and then something popped. All of a sudden my car just stopped. Somebody help me push my car. Please someone help me push my car. We don't have to
shotgun, now I'm gonna pump it.
And even though mayors in at least two villages look up and say, are we missing our idiot whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new, I would have to say, mathematical and indeed challenging puzzler, you think?
This could be the puzzler of the millennium.
Well, you know, it could be the puzzler of this millennium. I mean, I think the Monty Hall puzzler was the puzzler of the
previous millennium. This could be the one that stands out as the puzzler of maybe all time.
Well, I don't know, but here it is. And
I would say this is better than Monty Hall.
You think so?
More abstruse.
We're going to play a little imaginary little game.
Yeah.
Okay?
Go ahead.
Imagine there is an imaginary hat sitting on the table. There are going to be two contestants.
Is the table imaginary?
No, table's real. You, Tommy, will be one of the contestants, and we'll call the other one Vinny.
Yeah, gotcha.
So you reach into the hat, Tommy, and you pull out a number, and Vinny does the same. Now, the reason this hat is magical is that no matter what number you pull out, Vinny will always pull out a number that is either one above or one below your number. So if you pull out a 2, Tommy, for example, you know Vinny has pulled out either a 1 or a 3. And to make it simple, we'll limit the numbers to between 1 and, say, I don't know, infinity.
Why not?
So each of you pulls out a number. Let's say you pick 3 and Vinny picks 2. Now, I'm the moderator, and I ask Tommy, do you know what number Vinny has? Tommy looks at his number, which is 3, and says, no.
That's right. I'd say, I don't know.
So I ask Vinny, do you know what number Tommy has? He looks at his number 2 and says, yes.
Oh.
Okay. Now, regardless of the numbers that are picked, assuming that both contestants answer truthfully, if I keep asking the question of both of them, in other words, I ask one contestant first, then the next contestant, and if I get a no from the second guy, I go back to the first guy and ask him again. And when I finally get sick of that, I'll say, okay, one of you's got 20, and the other moron has 21. So I will keep doing this. Eventually, one of them will know, without a doubt, the other contestant's number. And the question is, how come is that? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard, or tape it, better still, to the top of a La Povoni Romantica espresso maker with brass boiler and solid mahogany handle. Send it to Puzzler Tower, attention, Ramey, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer, of course, from cartalk.com, which, by the way, will have a detailed explanation of the whole puzzler.
I'm telling you.
So if you're really confused by the verbal answer, you'll be able to go to the website.
I don't think the servers are going to be able to handle the volume of people.
No.
Who are going to come to see this. I mean, stay away. Stay away for a while until the rush.
The frenzy. The frenzy is over.
The frenzy is over.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from Denver.
Hi, Jonathan.
How are you?
Well, I could be better. My car is just a pain in the tuchus, as they say.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You call the right guys, Jonathan.
Yeah. Now, we're couple of tuchuses ourselves.
I've got a noise to make for you.
Well, what kind of a car is it?
We don't want to know.
All
right, don't tell us. We'll tell you.
No. Okay.
You tell us the noise, and we'll tell you what kind of car you have.
No, go ahead and tell me what car it is.
No, we got to hear the noise first.
What's the noise?
Okay. The noise has to do with the car, but it's not coming from the car. This is the noise. I get a call, and I hear this. Jonathan, this is Frank. I've got your car. It's ready. And then I go and pick it up.
Yeah.
And I take it home, and it's the same problem. And then I get the same noise again later. I worked on your car again. I think it's ready. What do I do about this problem?
Oh, that kind of car. Okay, your car. I'm getting Japanese.
Oh, no.
You're not getting Japanese?
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm getting... Oh, no. I'm getting...
Japanese, yeah.
I'm getting Japanese. Asian. I'm getting a strong Asian influence here.
Yes. That's the Chinese food you had last night.
I'm getting... if I only could see the color. Is it black?
It's gray.
Gray! That's black! Light black!
Gray is black! You guys are amazing!
It's light black! I mean, I have to go with my first instinct, man. Honda.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes. Very impressive.
It might be the only thing I'm right about all day. Honda what?
It's a Honda Accord, an 85 Honda Accord. It belonged to my parents. They gave it to me after it had 100,000 miles on it. I put another 50 on it. And I was told by the first mechanic I took it to, let's call him Bill. And Bill said, oh, this is a carburetor problem. I had to leave it there overnight because it had a cold start problem in the morning. Leave it overnight. He says, oh, this is a carburetor problem. It's going to cost $600 to replace your carburetor.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I called up a carburetor place because I thought maybe they could rebuild it. So I take it to this guy who works on carburetors, and he says, sure, I can fix it. And he works on it, and he's the one who keeps calling me up and telling me he thinks he has it ready, and it's still not ready. But he thinks he has it now.
Has he rebuilt it?
He took a bunch of gunk out of it, he said.
Yeah.
And he replaced the electric choke.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, he said that he figured out the problem eventually, and the way to fix it, if I don't get this part replaced, you just have to hit it with a hammer. You guys have to tell me what that part is.
Well, he thinks the floats are stuck.
No.
The needle valves are stuck.
No. He said the needles are fine. It's the fuel shut-off solenoid.
Oh, okay.
I've asked him to order that part. He says it may take about a week and a half.
Well, I mean, if that really is the problem, nothing else may have been wrong.
Well, is it true that it starts and runs for like a half a minute and then starts to give you trouble?
No. It does. It runs. It'll turn over. It cranks. It turns over, but it'll catch for maybe a second or two, and then it just dies.
And then it just dies. And how does it then start? What do you have to do to get it started?
I'll start it up, and it's barely running, and I'll pump the gas real hard, and then I'll double clutch it all the way down the street to this guy's shop and leave it there.
That's not what it is then.
Really?
Because that shuts off the fuel completely. It wouldn't run at all. You would never be able to get it started.
He says it's stuck halfway.
Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, that's... Come on!
Do you think this guy's ripping me off?
No,
he's not ripping you off, but I don't think he knows what's going on.
But he's learning a great deal at your expense.
He did say that to me. He said, you know, I know more about 85 Honda Accords than I ever thought I'd learn.
And how much is he paying you for this education?
Well, my wife's not very happy because I'm using her car. So
how much has he charged you so far?
I'm embarrassed to say it. $350 for the initial work, and he wants to order the $60 part and put it in.
Right.
And what he
said it's going to run fine after that.
And for 85 cents more, you could have bought a new carburetor.
Do you think I should just buy a new car?
No, not now. No, you got to go. You're married to him now. Well, let him install the fuel cutoff solenoid. What the hell? I mean, you're in this far, Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, but frankly, I don't think that's going to do it.
Nor do I, but don't let that discourage you.
You guys, I'm disappointed. So what can I do if the fuel solenoid doesn't work?
Jeez, and he didn't check the fuel pump? He never mentioned
actually, I just had the fuel pump replaced.
I mean, it might not even be fuel related. I don't want to, but
no.
I mean, you could have a plugged up catalytic converter.
That's what my father-in-law said. My father-in-law, who loves cars, and he said, check the catalytic converter.
Well, I mean, it could be something like that. It could be lots of things. I don't know why we have focused on this poor little carburetor.
Well, see, here's one of the problems with going to a guy that is a, quote, carburetor specialist.
Yeah.
That's all he knows.
That's all he knows, and that's all he's going to fix.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the glove box won't lock, he's going to rebuild your carburetor.
Well, what else can he do?
Because
it's his specialty.
By going to him, you've already diagnosed it as a carburetor
problem.
No,
Bill. Bill diagnosed it.
Well, somebody did.
Well, at one point he did say he was going to take it to another shop and have them figure it out for him. He was at that point.
Well, that's good. I would let him do that.
But then he went back to the fuel solenoid.
No, I'd stick with him. It sounds like he's homing in on it.
Yeah, but he's not there yet.
We're getting warmer.
Yeah,
and I predict that you're going to find out it wasn't the carburetor in the first place.
Okay.
Well, we'll be anxious to hear from you.
Okay, I'll let you know.
All right, Jonathan.
Take care.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Bye-bye.
His wife's throwing him out. He's stealing her car.
Yeah, he's got to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him now. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how are you, Tom and Ray?
We're fine.
Who's this?
Okay. I am Sharon.
You have to identify yourself.
Yes. Sharon?
Yes.
From where?
From Spokane, Washington.
Spokane. That's near Seattle, home of Melissa Peterson, isn't it?
Well, it's clear across the state.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
it is clear across it, but it's closer to her than...
It's closer to her than
you're within striking distance of her,
so
right.
to speak. So what's up, Sharon?
Well, I have the seasonal question.
With I use a little bit of rosemary and thyme.
No.
Seasonal.
I thought you said seasoning.
No.
All right, a seasonal question. I'm sorry.
I want to know why after 5 to 6 hours in the car... I always end up having a bad hair day, and I know it's got to have something to do with, you know, something mechanical to the car, but, you know, it doesn't matter how beautifully I'm coiffed in the morning, it's just, it looks a wreck by the end of the day. It looks like I pulled it out of the trunk and glued it on my head.
Oh, it's...
That's, mine looks like that all the time.
Yeah. So have you got any
What kind of a hairdo do you have?
I have shoulder-length hair.
Shoulder.
And normally it's kind of, you know, naturally curly and has lots of body. And by the end of a car day,
it looks frizzed.
It's flat.
It's flat and not fluffy.
Flat and not fluffy.
No.
And this happens when you've spent many hours in the car?
Yeah, and it's not like I'm sleeping in the car. It's just like...
That's my brother's problem.
And do you have air conditioning in your car, and do you use it?
Yes.
And is this problem worse in the summer than it is in the winter?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, probably.
Do you use a cream rinse?
Yes. Now, do you have a brand... Actually, what I want to know is if there's... some, like, gadget I can buy for 3 payments of, you know, $9.95 each that's going to cure this thing. Do you know of anything like that?
Well, I'm sure Ron Popeil is working on right
there. Yeah, you know, right.
I don't mean to laugh here, but... This show started out with people calling us with nuts and bolts questions.
Well,
what's the valve clearance? Should the valves be hot or cold when I adjust them?
How do I torque the cylinder head when I can't get the torque wrench in there because the firewall's in the way?
And we have come now to bad hair. Hair. I mean, and you're asking her to use a cream rinse, and I'm wondering, am I just parachuted in here from some other planet? What the hell is going on?
I think that's a great money-making opportunity for you guys. You know, you could invent something that's going to cure this problem. It can show up in you know, my next credit card statement, and you could make millions.
Well, do you?
Well, I'll be because
well,
of me,
first
right?
we have to figure out what the problem
is.
Well,
let's get into the. Do you use a cream rinse?
Yes, I do.
Well, you shouldn't in the summer. No, it gives your hair too much body, and it'll flatten out. You need to have that flyaway look, especially in hot, humid weather. So I would cut down on the cream rinse.
Had in mind something along the way of a, like a solar powered humidifier or like a negative ion machine that you could
use an ion generator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what the hell do you know about cream rinse? What is cream rinse?
I wanted a mechanical answer to this
problem. Here's what I know. Here's the full extent of my knowledge of cream rinse. When I get in the shower, I mean, up until recently, I used to wash my hair with the same soap I use in the rest of my body. I didn't know from shampoo.
That's bad.
My wife introduced me to the wonderful world of shampoo, and she has arrayed in the shower all these other things, shampoos and other conditioners and cream rinses and all that. So I use this stuff. I don't know what the hell it is. But it makes, I know from my own personal experience that it makes my hair feel greasy.
Yeah.
Cream rinse,
and it flattens it out. It isn't as fluffy and fly away and as fresh looking.
Well, what is it supposed to do?
It mats it down, makes you look like a wet dog.
That's what cream rinse is for?
Makes your hair more manageable. It softens your hair, makes it easier to comb and style. I don't have that problem because I have nothing left to comb or style.
But you're suggesting that Sharon would have this problem whether she were in the car or not.
Yes, I would suggest that.
I don't think so. It's
a little known fact. You're probably stressed when you're behind the wheel. That stress affects the way your hair lies. I mean, Vidal Sassoon did a big seminar on that. recently that I attended. It was the next door to the seat cover convention when I was in Indianapolis last month.
Well, Sharon, I am going to figure out what this problem really is, and you're right. We will come out with something in a spray can.
I'm willing to contribute like my whole $37 in life savings if you guys want to go into business with me.
We're partners. That's it.
Okay.
We
right.
are partners.
Split the profits 50-50, right?
But I would try to be more relaxed behind the wheel.
Okay.
And
avoid the cream rinse.
And I would avoid the cream rinse. At least I would hold cream rinse, and I would probably switch. Never mind.
And torque those heads to 40, 50 foot-pounds.
Well, thanks, you guys.
Thank you, Sharon.
give me a good slap in the face. What's happened to us? Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the South Seychelles Spam Smoney and Spirulina Smorgasbord, is John Boxy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin O'Vera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. Our drug trial specialist is Placebo Domingo. My puzzle assistant is Normally Bogus. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the postdoc panhandlers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1343, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, dashboard cinematography.
What are you talking about?
Film festival!
Oh!
We asked our staff to find the best dashboard camera footage ever taken. Actual video clips from dashboard-mounted cameras from all over the world. And we're going to be screening them and handing out awards all weekend long at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the Dalai Lama says, "Excuse me, please," and then stomps on his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.